Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I got to the hotel late.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
My flight landed with a delay. I hadn't eaten, and all I wanted was to get to my room. The building looked decent. Nothing fancy, just clean and quiet, which is all I needed. The guy at the reception barely said a word. He slid me the key card and pointed down the hall. Room 807. The hallway was long and carpeted. Lights too dim. I hate places like that. Feels like they tried to hide the dirt by keeping it dark. I reached the elevator. It looked old, not broken, just tired. I pressed the button and waited, tapping the keycard against my thigh. When the doors opened, I stepped in without thinking. There was a small mirror on the back wall. The kind that warps your face if you stand too close. I stood in the middle, facing the panel, and pressed the button for 8. As the door started to close, I heard something behind me.
"Are you going to the 8th floor?"
I answered without turning around. Just said, "Yeah." I thought maybe someone slipped in before the door shut, but there was no one else. I turned slowly, expecting someone. Nothing. I was alone. I waited for the elevator to move. It didn't. No noise, no vibration. I pressed the button for 8 again. Still nothing. The doors didn't open either. I pressed door open. No response. I tried the emergency button. Dead. Then I pulled at the doors with my hands. Locked tight. I started sweating. Not from heat. My chest felt tight. I tried to stay calm, but the longer I stood there, the more I felt something was off. And then, behind me, the breath. Slow, warm, too close, like someone breathing right at the base of my neck. But in the mirror in front of me still showed just one person. Me. I turned around in a full spin. Still alone. But I wasn't imagining the breath. I backed into the corner and started hitting every button I could see. I wanted to get out. Now. Then a beep. The button for floor 8 lit up. The elevator jerked upward. I relaxed for a second, thinking it had finally kicked in, but the feeling didn't go away. The speed felt off. Too fast for a normal lift. I looked at the floor indicator. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. but it didn't stop. The numbers kept rising. The lights above the doors flickered with each one. 14, 17, 20. I started pressing buttons again. Every single one. None of them responded. The elevator kept going. I hit the emergency button over and over until my fingers hurt. The wall started shaking slightly. Not like a real earthquake. More like the whole box I was in was vibrating because it wasn't meant to move this fast. The air inside felt like it was being pulled upward. I crouched and held the rail, trying to keep my balance. The mirror on the back wall began to blur. Not crack. Blur, like I was looking at it underwater. And then I saw it flicker. The door opened light, just for a second. I didn't wait. I slammed the button hard. The doors slid open mid-ride, but what was outside wasn't a floor. It was like watching a tunnel of concrete flying past at a speed that made me dizzy. There were no landings, no exits, just motion. The elevator wasn't moving through a building anymore. It was going somewhere else. I didn't see him appear. One moment, I was alone. The next, there was something in the corner of my eye. I turned and saw him. Not a shadow, not a figure. A man, maybe 70, floating. He faced the corner of the elevator with his back to me, arms loose at his sides, feet hanging above the ground. He wore a suit, but it was ruined. Water stains all over, like he'd been pulled out of a river. His hair stuck to his scalp. His body was still, but his head started to turn. Not like a person turns. It twisted slowly, the neck stretching in a way bones shouldn't allow. First the chin, then the mouth, then the eyes. Or where they should have been. There were just holes. Blood poured from them in lines that ran down his cheeks. His skin looked burnt, tight, and cracked. His jaw unhinged and opened too wide, like it was tearing itself apart. No noise came out. Not a word. Just the sight of it was enough to freeze me where I stood. He floated closer, inches off the ground, head twitching like something inside was fighting to stay still. His mouth moved in a slow pattern, like he was speaking underwater. Then he raised a hand and pointed at me. Not a quick movement. It was slow and deliberate. And then, finally, he spoke. "You should have never said 8. That was enough. I lunged at the panel and smashed every button. My whole arm was shaking. I pressed door open again and again. The hallway didn't come. The elevator kept climbing. But now, the sound was worse. Grinding metal like something was tearing apart inside the walls. The old man moved closer. I could hear the wet clicking of his joints. The smell hit me next. Rotten, chemical, thick like it coated your tongue. I retched, but didn't throw up. I backed up until I had nowhere to go. He was still floating, still pointing. His face began to change. The sockets stretched. His skin peeled piece by piece. Underneath, something moved. Not muscle. Something black, like it was wearing him. The lights above flickered rapidly. He opened his mouth wide, too wide, and let out a noise. A sharp, dry gasp that felt like it cut through the air. And then everything stopped. No movement, no noise. Total blackout. The lights came back after a few seconds. The old man was gone. So was the sound. The elevator dinged softly like nothing had happened. The number above the door read 8. I didn't think. I ran out, straight into the hallway. Didn't look back. I reached my room, slammed the door, locked it twice. I collapsed on the floor, breathing hard, sweating through my shirt. I didn't check the mirror. I didn't unpack. The elevator didn't move again for a while, but around 3 a.m. I heard it ding. I peeked out. The doors opened on my floor. No one came out. Then it started going down. I packed and left before sunrise. I took the stairs. 8 floors. Didn't stop. I ignored the front desk, got in a cab, and didn't speak the whole ride to the airport. I never reported it. What would I even say? I searched online for that hotel. No one's mentioned anything strange. No ghost stories, no deaths, just reviews about the location and breakfast. I've never gone back to that city. I avoid elevators altogether. Doesn't matter if it's 5 floors or 15. I walk. People laugh about it. I let them. I don't care anymore. Sometimes I still dream about it. The elevator. The sound of it climbing faster than it should. The breath behind me. The floating man with no eyes.
The hotel was a week from opening. It had a sterile, unfinished feel. Plastic wrap on the furniture. Faint smell of paint and dust. No guest. No life. My job was simple. Walk the halls from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Check that nothing was out of place. Log in any issues. And report back. Easy money. Especially with no one around to cause trouble. I had worked a dozen places before this one. Offices. Schools. One warehouse that creeped me out a bit. But nothing ever happened. This job felt the same. Dead quiet. Just me, my flashlight, and the occasional buzz from my phone. That night, my mind wasn't on the job. My dad had been in the hospital again. Something with his heart. I kept checking for updates, pacing the top floor and barely glancing at the doors I was supposed to be monitoring. No cameras were up there yet. Just a long hallway and a view of the elevator at the end. It was about 2:40 a.m. when I noticed something weird. The elevator doors were closed, but the panel above flickered between floors, stuck between 5 and 6. I pressed a button to call it. Nothing. I tried again, and the second I pressed it, the emergency brake sound triggered. The metal clunk echoed hard. Then nothing. At first, I thought it was a glitch. The elevator system was still being calibrated. It made sense. But the brake kicking in every time I pressed the call button, that didn't track. I walked back to the security room to check the feeds. The elevator had an internal camera, one of the few already working. I pulled it up and leaned in closer. There was someone inside, a man, maybe in his 40s, bald, wearing a dark jacket. He wasn't just waiting calmly. He was pacing in circles, fast, panicking. He kept slamming his fist into the wall, then crouching, then jumping up like he was trying to reach the ceiling. I muted the screen and watched. He kicked the door and stopped suddenly, then stared at the floor for a long time. A minute later, he started randomly pressing buttons. Not just one or two, but every single one of them. His hand moved like he didn't care what he pressed, just wanted something to happen. I assumed he was trapped, but then I rewound the footage to see when he got in. That's when it stopped making sense. The guy had entered the elevator at 6:17 p.m., over 4 hours before my shift. The elevator had moved to the fifth floor. Then it stopped. He didn't push any buttons to go down. He wasn't stuck. He stayed there on purpose. I switched to the live camera feed again. The elevator was empty. My brain froze. I couldn't make sense of what I was looking at. I scrubbed the footage back. There he was. Pacing. Breathing hard. Banging on the walls. Then, I rewound further. At 6:17 p.m., he entered the elevator alone. No one else got with him. He pressed the button for the fifth floor. Then the doors closed. And that was it. He never tried to leave. He didn't even attempt to push another button for over an hour. At one point, he sat down in the corner, hugging his knees, staring at the camera like he could see through it. His lips were moving fast. He was talking to someone that wasn't there. After a while, he laughed. Not loud, but with his whole body. His shoulders shook. Then he stood up violently and kicked the doors. The camera glitched for a second. And when the image returned, he was gone. I scrolled through every camera near the elevator. Nothing. No hallway activity. No open doors. He hadn't exited the elevator because the doors had never opened. I felt something shift in my chest. Cold, slow pressure. I called the police and said there was a possible trespasser. Mentally unstable. Possibly dangerous. Seen earlier in the building but now missing. They said a car would be there in 10 minutes. I hung up. My eyes were stuck on the screen showing the elevator's current position. Still on floor 5. I had to check. I couldn't just sit there. I walked back to the hallway and hit the elevator call button. This time, it responded. The door slid open. It was empty. No blood. No debris. No signs of anyone being there. I stepped in, hesitant, and looked around again, feeling like I was walking into someone else's trap. I pushed the button for the basement floor. The elevator started to move. I tilted my head back instinctively, and that's when I saw it. The ceiling panel was loose. It wasn't like that earlier. One of the corners was slightly pushed in, just enough to show that someone had been up there. And right as I noticed it, two dirty hands grabbed the edges, and his face came into view, peeking down at me like a predator watching prey in a cage. His mouth was open, stretched, unnatural, but no sound came out. His eyes twitched. Then, without a second of hesitation, he dropped down. He landed with both knees on my chest, knocking the air out of me. I hit the floor gasping, my vision shaking. He moved like he didn't feel pain or exhaustion. He scratched in my face with both hands, fingers curled like claws, dragging them across my cheeks and forehead. He didn't yell. He didn't talk, but his mouth stayed open like he wanted to scream and couldn't. I punched at him, kicked, tried to throw him off, but he slammed my head into the elevator floor again and again, harder each time. I rolled sideways and reached for my pepper spray. My hand closed around it. He saw. He ripped it from my grip without thinking, jammed the nozzle right into my face. He held it there and emptied the entire canister. My nose, eyes, throat, all burning. The pain was instant, overwhelming. I couldn't breathe, couldn't see. I stumbled, crawling backward to the corner, choking on my own spit and tears. He was laughing now, a silent laugh, shoulders bouncing as he watched me suffocate. He walked over slowly, holding the canister like a weapon, and started hitting me with it. Not like a tool, like a ritual. The canister clicked, empty, and he still swung it down, into my jaw, into my temple, over and over again. I couldn't scream anymore. The elevator kept moving. The lights flickered. Every second felt like it lasted an hour. I tried to crawl, but he grabbed my head and slammed it back down again. Then he leaned over me and watched me like I was a dying animal. The elevator hit the basement floor. The doors opened with a low beep. I didn't wait. I crawled as fast as I could, dragging my legs, barely able to see through the chemical haze. I made it to the hallway before he grabbed my ankle and pulled me back like I weighed nothing. He didn't even try to restrain me. He climbed on top and started punching, random and erratic, but hard. My head bounced off the floor. I felt my teeth breaking. Blood spilled from my nose. I tried to cover my face, but he crawled right through my arms. He hit me in the throat, then pulled at my collar, choking me out with my own uniform. I couldn't fight back. I couldn't even scream. I turned to my side and tried to roll away, and he bit me. He actually bit into my shoulder. My body twitched in shock. He spit out blood, grinned wide, and started pulling at my eyelid like he was trying to rip it off. That's when I heard banging, a voice outside, metal scraping, the door. He didn't react. He didn't even look. His hand reached into my pocket and pulled out my flashlight and cracked it against my jaw. But then, the door split open. Two officers rushed in yelling. One tackled him off of me. The other one grabbed my collar and dragged me out of the elevator. I collapsed just outside the door, coughing blood, barely able to keep my eyes open. The guy was still fighting, thrashing wildly, but the officer pinned him down with a knee to the neck. He didn't say anything, didn't ask why they were stopping him. He just kept looking at me through the open elevator doors, grinning.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Eyes wide and dry. They cuffed him. His body went limp. As they dragged him out of the elevator, he started making a noise. Not a word, just a low, raspy breath that somehow sounded like a laughter. Like he'd gotten exactly what he wanted. They took me to the hospital. Stitches. Fractures. Chemical burns. The works. I didn't sleep for 2 days. Kept thinking I'd wake up in the elevator again. They said they found no ID on him. No fingerprints in the system. No one came forward claiming to know him. He didn't speak during transport. Didn't speak during booking. Just stared ahead. Like the whole thing was just some kind of performance. A detective called me 3 days later. He told me the man had spoken. Just once. When they asked him why he did it, he leaned forward, completely calm, and said he just felt like doing that. That was it. No anger. No madness. just flat, empty tone, like reading a weather report. After that, he never opened his mouth again. The detective said it like he was trying to understand it, like he wanted me to give him a reason that made more sense, but I didn't have one. None of it made sense, and deep down, I think it wasn't supposed to. A few nights later, they moved him to a psych facility. High security, no windows, cameras everywhere. He vanished the same night. No break-in, no alarms. The guards checked his room and it was empty. Not a trace. The cameras caught nothing. They said it was impossible, and yet, he was gone. The hotel opened anyways. Nothing in the news. No statements. Just business as usual. I quit. Moved cities. Got out of the industry for good. But sometimes, when I'm alone in the hallway, or walking past an elevator, I stop. I feel the same pressure in my chest. I don't trust those doors anymore. I don't trust what might be behind them. He was never trying to escape. He was waiting, waiting for someone to step in. And it just happened to be me.
I just wanted to get home. It was a long day at work, I'd barely eaten, and my head was killing me. The elevator in my building is old. Not ancient, but the kind that makes weird noises when it stops. Still, I always take it. 8 floors is too much after 10 hours in a chair staring at spreadsheets. I pressed the button and waited. I checked my phone, barely 2% battery. I sighed and put it away. The hallway was empty, which was normal for that time of night. The flickering ceiling light above the elevator didn't help my mood. The elevator arrived with that loud mechanical clunk I knew too well. I stepped in, hit the button for floor 8, and leaned against the wall. Right before the doors closed, a hand shot between them. The door slid open again, and a guy stepped in. He looked around my age, maybe younger. Hoodie, sweatpants, wild eyes. His face was pale, but not sick. More like exhausted. His hands were twitching. He didn't look at me. He hit the button for floor 6. The doors closed. We started moving. He started breathing louder around floor 2. Deep, ragged breaths running through his nose. I looked sideways without turning my head. His hands were clenched into fists now. He rocked slightly back and forth. Floor 3. He let out a low, weird hum. Not a tune, just a sound. Like someone trying to hold something in. My stomach tightened. I kept my eyes on the door. My thumb hovered over my phone's power button, but it was dead. At floor 4, he turned his head sharply, looked straight at me. His eyes were red and wide open. Not crying red, strained red. He didn't blink, just stared. My mouth was dry. I looked down and away. Floor 5. He giggled. A quick, jerky laugh that didn't belong in a space like that. I looked at the floor display. Almost there. Just 3 more floors. Then I'd be out. That's what I told myself. But then there was a jolt. The kind of jolt that makes your knees buckle a little. The lights flickered. The elevator stopped. At first, nothing. Just silence. But not a peaceful kind. It was the kind that fills your ears like pressure before a storm. I stared at the floor numbers. The screen was off. No movement, no light from the emergency button, but then I noticed it. He was pacing, slowly, like an animal sniffing for something. His arms hung down, his hands twitching every few seconds. He was mumbling again, but it was faster this time, like he was arguing with someone I couldn't see. I didn't move. I pressed myself into the corner and kept my back against the wall. My hand hovered over the emergency button again, but it was dead. I couldn't even fake control. I looked up. He was staring at me now. Dead center. His face was pale but wet with sweat. His jaw clenched so hard I thought his teeth might break. His eyes didn't blink, didn't move, just locked onto mine like he had finally remembered why he was there. He suddenly spoke, low and fast. You knew this was gonna happen. I didn't respond. He took a step forward. "This isn't a glitch. You set this up. You brought me in here." He put his hands on his head and started pressing his fingers into his skull. Then he looked straight up and screamed. It wasn't rage. It was a scream like someone being eaten alive. He dropped to his knees, started slamming his fists into the floor over and over, the sound of bone hitting metal echoing in the tight space. Then he stood up in one sudden move and started walking in frantic circles inside the elevator, faster each time. He muttered things I couldn't catch. Then, without warning, he lunged. He crashed into me with his full weight, slammed me against the wall, and pinned me there with his forearm across my chest. His face was inches from mine. "They chose me for this. This is part of it, right?" I tried to push him off, but he shoved harder. "They watch everything. This is the test. You're part of it." He shoved me to the floor so hard my shoulder hit the corner. I barely had time to scream before he was on top of me, knees on my legs, both hands around my neck. My body flailed. I scratched his arms, kicked, anything. My throat burned. I couldn't breathe. He wasn't just attacking, he was performing something, like a ritual. His eyes were rolled halfway back, his mouth foaming.
"You're not even fighting it. That's how I know. You want this. You planned this."
He tightened his grip. I couldn't scream, couldn't even wheeze. His head snapped back toward the ceiling again.
"Is this good enough? Is this what you wanted?"
He pressed harder.
"You told me she'd be in here. I did my part. I'm doing what you asked."
I barely managed to get a hand up to his face. I shoved two fingers into his eye socket and he finally jerked away. I coughed violently and rolled onto my side, gasping. He staggered back, grabbed at his face, then slammed his head into the wall once, then again. Blood started dripping down his cheek, but he didn't even flinch.
"I don't feel it. I don't feel anything. They took it out."
He slammed his fist into the control panel, breaking off a chunk of plastic. Sparks flew out.
"Open up! Open up! Open up!"
He started pounding the buttons like a man possessed. He punched the floor indicator so hard the LED inside cracked. Then he kicked the opposite wall three times in a row, screaming like a wild animal. I crawled into the corner and curled up, eyes wide, my body shaking uncontrollably. He grabbed a loose wire from the broken panel and held it up toward the ceiling.
"What now, huh? I passed your test. Why won't you answer me?"
I tried to get up again, but my legs were shaking so badly I couldn't stand. My back was slick with sweat. I clung to the handrail just to stay upright. He was crouched now, muttering to himself in rapid bursts, like an argument only he could hear. Then, without warning, he turned toward me and crawled fast, like a spider, until he reached my feet and yanked me down again. I screamed until my voice broke. He pressed his forehead against mine and whispered through gritted teeth.
"They said I wouldn't feel guilty this time. They said it wouldn't hurt."
Then he looked up again, almost crying.
"I did everything right. She was here, just like you promised."
He started choking me again. This time he wasn't yelling. He was focused, silent, dead eyes staring into mine. I grabbed his wrists and pulled, but he wouldn't move. I felt myself fading. Darkness crept in at the edges of my vision. Then, suddenly, the light snapped back on. Everything lit up in cold white. His grip loosened. He blinked fast, like waking from a trance. He stood up fast, stumbling backward into the wall, hands trembling. He started muttering again.
"Not yet. Not yet. The signal was wrong."
He stomped over to the panel and began smashing all the buttons one by one. The elevator jolted. We were moving again. He screamed, grabbed his head with both hands, and banged it against the metal wall.
"I'm not done! I'm not done! This wasn't the end!"
I crawled to the opposite door just as the elevator dinged. I didn't wait for the doors to open fully. I scrambled through the gap, fell onto the hallway floor, and tried to scream, but nothing came out. Behind me, he stayed in the elevator, pacing, slamming his fists against the walls. I looked back just as the door started to close. He stood there, staring at me from inside, his chest heaving like he had just run for miles.
"Why did you do this? Why me?"
His voice cracked like it belonged to a different person. Then he turned back toward the panel and started mashing all the buttons again. He slammed his fists down until some of them got stuck inside the frame. Then he started punching the floor of the elevator, shouting unintelligible sounds. The door shut on him mid-scream. I ran. I didn't even know where I was going. I just needed distance. I reached my apartment and slammed the door, locked it, and called the police with hands I couldn't keep steady. I told them he attacked me, that he was still in the elevator, that I didn't know who he was or how he got in. By the time they got him out, he was curled in the corner, bleeding, mumbling nonsense. His name was Lucas. He wasn't from the building, never lived there, but neighbors had seen him before, hanging around the parking lot, watching the front door, following people in. No one said anything. The cops later told me he'd escaped from a care facility 3 weeks earlier. He had a long history, torturing animals, trying to stab his own brother, once tried to drown a woman in a public fountain. His family kept covering for him. He always got released. That night they took him in, but he didn't fight. He just kept saying the same thing over and over. It wasn't the right one. It wasn't the right one. It wasn't her. They tricked me. It wasn't the right one. They brought him back to a psychiatric hospital outside the city. He's still there as far as I know. Locked up, under surveillance. But that doesn't fix anything. It doesn't erase the way he looked at me. Or the way I couldn't breathe. The elevator's been fixed. The building says it's safe. I don't care. I use the stairs now. Even if it's 10 floors. Even if I'm carrying groceries. Because I know what it's like to be trapped with someone who's completely broken. And once you've lived through that, there's no such thing as a normal elevator ride again.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.